We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show. Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Every Wednesday at this time, we connect with Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Dale, how are you today?
We're doing great, thank you.
How's my phone sound?
Your phone sounds okay. Good. We can hear you just fine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Where's right. Wiggy?
Hey!
Wiggy's here as well.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Michael Bennett, because we've heard about beefs between players and coaches many times in the past. We've seen Tom Brady on the sidelines with coaches. It sounds as though Michael Bennett and Brett Bielema went beyond that.
Well, I think that the first statement issued on it is the one from Michael Bennett. And, you know, I'm not sure how much stock we want to put in that. If he's trying to control the narrative, philosophical differences isn't two guys talking about Keynesian economics, I'm sure. I'm sure it was a little bit more high-strung. And if it rises to the level of somebody not just being benched or sat down or told to go home or don't come back until next Wednesday, it was probably a pretty significant dust-up, especially when it's going to cost somebody a game check. We've heard Alan Branch have problems previously, with effort in the coaching, and he sat down. They were able to get him back under the umbrella, and he played well for them. But with Michael Bennett, I'm guessing that it was probably, as you're indicating too, Dale, a little more strident than just a couple of guys saying, let's just agree to disagree on this.
Yeah, did Branch get suspended or just benched?
Benched.
Okay, so in your time covering the Patriots, have you heard of a player getting suspended for an altercation with a coach? And just like that,
huh?
He was gone. You know what? It was an inauspicious. Nope. Oh, there you are. We lost you for a second. Sorry. Okay.
Start your answer over, Tom.
Sorry.
Let me do this. I'm walking to a better spot.
fair enough.
Listen, I don't want to insinuate there was an altercation. So I'm not going. So
no, that's fair. Okay. I don't want to put words in your mouth either, but I'm just saying what we've heard is from Michael Bennett. He said he had a disagreement with a position coach. So we have sort of connected the dots, but just a disagreement with a coach. Let's just even leave it
Terry
at that.
Terry Glenn in 2001 and during that training camp.
Okay.
Those were occasions when I can really recall it. Steve Martin rubbed them the wrong way back in 2002. But really there's not been many. I'm sure that there's some. Wiggy, I mean, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
How much? How often? It happens, have to really piss them off, right?
Yeah, even with the Terry Glenn situation, there really wasn't a huge blow up. It was more of, all right, you don't really want to buy in, or you I forget at the time, it might have been money situation.
Yeah, and it was some dope.
Yeah, and so it was just like, you know what? Where you can go home, we'll go at it without you. So, but the thing I think it, as a former player who's been in those locker rooms and who's been in those meeting rooms, generally it gets to the point where it's you got two alpha dogs that are barking at each other and they can't really suspend the coach, and they ultimately suspend the player because of, you know, there has been this boiling point going on for a while, and it leads to this blow up. Which now, where do they go from here? I ultimately think you either trade him or you're going to release him.
Right. But the interesting thing that we're looking at with Michael Bennett is, do we allow his recitation of the facts as he sees them to be representative of what actually happened? And I'm not willing to do that. So I'm not just going to say, oh, well, just a philosophical difference with his position coach. It could have been any number of things. So that's why suspension, we can all assume that it was more than just a disagreement. And how many other people did it involve? Has it been an ongoing situation? I think hopefully, you know, as I continue to check and try and find out what I can and other people do, hopefully we get a better recitation of the facts than just Michael Bennett's statement to one reporter.
Well, and speaking of that, what do you think the Patriots think of him issuing a statement through a reporter?
Probably status quo. This is what we signed up for when we traded for him. And that's the interesting thing about him. They traded for him. So they're not getting a guy who decided to come to the Patriots to play for them. And I think that there's a different equation there. Maybe when he signed, they said to him, look, we understand you're a penetrating defensive tackle and you've been that way, but you're still a great player and we're going to find a way to use you. And they didn't know at the time, after having just lost Trey Flowers, that Adam Butler was going to play at the level he has, or Lawrence Guy was going to play at the level that he is doing again this year, or that Danny Shelton was going to come in skinny as hell and make a massive leap to the point where they don't really need Michael Bennett as much as they thought they might have. Additionally, my guy Phil Perry's working on a story, going through all the plays, trying to figure it out. And there's some good, and there's plenty of bad, and there's some ugly in there. He's just not playing that well when he's out there. So, but he didn't sign up for this either. So I could see why he would be more inclined to tell them, play me or trade me type thing.
Given his decreasing role with this defense, 11 defensive snaps last game, the dust-up with the position coach, which led to a one-week suspension, it's pretty easy for me to say, you're probably not going to see him in a Patriots uniform again this year.
That's what I'm working on right now, just trying to handicap the likelihood of that, because I do think that over the course of time, Bill Belichick is, unless he's had a long history with somebody, he is more of a conciliator. He would rather see things work out, especially when, in this instance, there's a fair amount of money involved that they've sunk into him, in Michael Bennett. So I would imagine that Bill will try to work things out. So I wouldn't say it's definitely not going to happen. I think the Malcolm Butler benching, pseudo-benching, but I think that was a benching as well, took a longer time to unfold, because over the course of the season, there was performance as well that didn't mesh. And there was also agitations over the course of a couple of years with Malcolm not being on time for things, et cetera. But, you know, how far gone were things previous to whatever happened on Friday will probably help to dictate whether or not Bill Belichick wants to try and figure out a way to make it work.
Yeah, and that's the question too, is how important is it to make it work? Because he was trending in the complete wrong direction for him. I mean, even if he wasn't suspended for Monday's game, based on the way things were going, he was probably only going to get 8 or 9 snaps anyway. I guess the next question would be, if you did trade him, Ben Volen was on the Greg Hill Show this morning, and he even just proposed a Michael Bennett for Danny Amendola deal with Detroit. Would that make sense for teams in your mind?
Yeah, we spoke about that a little bit last night on NBC Sports Boston. It makes great sense on paper, but what you have to do is find a team that has the need and the style that fits Michael Bennett. He's still one of the best players in the league at doing what he does, which is penetrating. You're sending him to a defensive coach in Matt Patricia, who probably plays, again, I don't know exactly the, you know, who's playing overs and unders and the different fronts and the different talents, but probably similar to what the Patriots are doing. So you have a player in Amendola who's not useful at all to Detroit, who would absolutely be exactly what the Patriots are looking to regain in their offense. But is Michael Bennett relevant to them at 33 years old? They got what seems to be a good thing going. Michael Bennett has been an irritant in New England. He was an irritant in Seattle. I don't know how great the Philadelphia experience was, but they didn't try too hard to keep him. So does Detroit want to bring him in?
See, I think you'd hit the nail right on the head that this system that he's in doesn't fit what they want to do. It just doesn't fit him well. They want guys that are multiple, can move around, and when they do have, you know, two defensive linemen or one defensive lineman on the field with their hands down, it's not really a pass rusher. It's more of a run defender. And I think that's the biggest problem with the way the defense has kind of evolved.
Yeah, and but that's the thing, is it's evolved that way, but we kind of have always seen it be that as a 3-4. So you traded for him after Trey Flowers left. That makes obviously great sense. He's probably the best defensive lineman out there once Trey Flowers left. But as the offseason continued to unfold and you saw what you had as the Patriots brain trust, you were in a tough spot. You have him. He wants an extension. You give him the extension, 2 years and $16 million, and you're now down the road with it. It's just interesting to me, the decisions you make. I don't second guess the Patriots on signing him the way I did with Antonio Brown, because, you know, he doesn't have the same backlog of just outright quitting on a team and nuking it, but he can be a pain in the ass. It's a card carrying pain in the ass. So it's not a stunner that if he is not the center of the defensive universe and people aren't stopping by his locker to, you know, get whatever nuggets of great revelation from him on life and America, then we're going to be probably subjected to a guy who's not happy about his role.
Speaking of the universe, we were just having this discussion about Tom Brady, Tara Sullivan, and the Globe's headline, not being the center of the Patriots universe, and is he okay with that? This is obviously a defensive-centric team. The offense has sputtered at times. He's expressed frustration with how the offense has performed, even in the aftermath of beating the Buffalo Bills 16-10. Is he okay with not being the center of the Patriots universe, quote-unquote?
Yeah, I find that contention loaded with the intimation that Brady has such an ego that he has to throw for 400 and be someone who is in the MVP conversation annually. Don't you? I mean, is he okay with not being the center of the Patriots? Yeah, he's fine. As long as they're working the offense at an efficient level.
Right.
He's not okay with coming off after going 2-for-10 on third down. Even if they throw for 330 and he completes 60% of his passes, if they go 2-for-10 on third down and 1-for-4 in the red zone, which they did against the Giants, I might be off on the third down, but I know they were 1-for-4 in the red zone. He's not okay with that. The center of the universe portion, or being not the focal point, he's fine with it.
So I don't like that phrase either, Tom, but I do think in a way it goes hand in hand, in the sense that if he's playing well where he's satisfied with how the offense is doing, well, then he will be one of the top quarterbacks in the league statistically. Like, if he's happy with his performance, it doesn't mean he's throwing for 50 touchdowns, but chances are he's throwing for over 30 and has low interceptions and it is right there. The point I brought up is if he won all the games the rest of the way 16-10, yeah, you're winning, but we also heard what he sounded like after the Bills game, and he was not thrilled following a win.
Yes, and I think he had every reason in the world to not be thrilled about it, because if you, Dale and Wiggy, have a show for 4 hours today, and Dale and Wiggy are outstanding, and they carry your ass for 4 hours.
That's every Wednesday.
And you're trying really hard, but stuff's not working the way you're accustomed to having it work. All the jokes have fallen flat. You got no information
every Thursday,
anybody.
Friday. Yep.
Then you're going to walk out, and if somebody says, how'd the show go? You're going to go, yeah, I mean.
Right, exactly.
It's coming. Yeah. It's coming. Yeah. So I don't blame him for wanting to have the side of the ball that he and Josh McDaniels are responsible for look good. And if he ascribes the reasons that it's not looking good to some of the guys in his support staff needing more time, not sucking, not being morons, not being useless, but needing more time, I don't blame him. I really don't blame him.
So what role can we expect from Ben Watson now that he's back with the team? We know that Brady loves him and Brady spoke highly of him. Can we expect Tom to maybe, you know, no, I don't want to say force it, but, you know, have an extra eye to see where he is in his progression to see if they can get him the football?
Yeah, I think both he and Josh McDaniels will make a focal point of Ben Watson as a receiver. And I don't know how much separation he can get at this point. But again, he'll be a big body. And if they're down Josh Gordon this week, they absolutely need him, because it's one guy in, one guy out, unfortunately, if Gordon can't play. So you'll need Watson to be a component of the passing offense. And again, you're going against a defense that really did a great job against the Patriots for three quarters in the first meeting after after the first three drives of the game, the Patriots, you know, eviscerated Greg Williams' defense. After that, the Jets were pretty good against them.
We talked about who you play and who you get wins against, and we've come to the conclusion that there are only about six good teams in the National Football League. And ironically, the Buffalo Bills are the Patriots' best win so far this year. But if you look at the other teams, they're pretty much in the same boat as well, the teams that are supposedly among the better teams in the league.
Yeah, the Ravens are even worse than the Patriots in terms of quality wins. 0.196 is the winning percentage against. I think the Houston really, its resume in 2019, while we all do have the taste in our mouth of a team that sometimes pees down its leg in key situations, you know, they were nip and tuck with the Drew Brees Saints at the beginning of the year. They had another touchdown loss in there, but other than that, you know, they've been a very good team. Competitive every week. They have a great road win now on their resume. So I think that is the second best team. And I know that Wiggy's a huge Bills guy. I saw his power rankings. And now he's
no, my power power rankings, I had Houston as the second best team.
Yeah, Houston.
You had
Buffalo 6.
Yeah.
Love that I have absolutely now pushed you to the point where you're going to do Wiggy.
Yeah,
the weekly Wiggy power read.
Well, we didn't go 1 through 16, Tom. No. We didn't want to steal your whole bit. We just did top five.
But you and I did agree on the top three. We did have the top three the same.
Same top three. Yeah, yeah, you did. Last question.
You know get this real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
On Kansas City, they've lost 3 out of 4 at home when you go back to the AFC Championship
game. Crazy.
They're really taking on water.
Oh, yeah, their defense stinks.
Oh,
it's real bad. Where do you come down, Tom, on N'Keal Harry? Do you think he will make an impact the second half of the season?
I do, just based on I think he's a better athlete at this point than Josh Gordon, who's obviously a more experienced player, but still not the experienced player somebody at 28 would be. I think he is a better athlete. He's faster. He's probably more agile at this juncture of his career. And I think he is going to just by default make an impact. So, but he's not what they necessarily need because they more need an inside guy, but he will be a help.
Final point here. The fall meetings are going on for the NFL. Roger Goodell just held a press session here a few moments ago. He was asked about the Antonio Brown investigation. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, still working on it. Lot of material to go through.
Oh my God. Oh, jeez.
What a fraud. Just
freezing him out. Freezing them out.
100%. I mean, it is. I wrote about it over the weekend. It is an unofficial suspension, and it's because the team does not need Antonio Brown. The league does not need Antonio Brown hijacking any more of their 100th season. Mm-hmm. You got the first 3 weeks. After that, see you, buddy.
It's unbelievable. I didn't see anything like it.
That's what a fraud. Yeah.
Will any team buck the trend and try to sign him to a deal?
Well, that's the interesting thing. If you're the NFLPA, as repellent as he is and has been, you almost have to take up for him as, hey, this guy deserves a right to a speedy adjudication at least so that we can find out whether he can work or not. There's teams that want him. I'm sure there's plenty of GMs and quarterbacks who would love to see Antonio Brown walking in their facility. But the NFL has, with its statement, thrown over their heads every team that just be warned that if you sign him, he still can be placed on the exempt list at any time. I mean, that's almost unprecedented to say, go ahead, sign him, we'll put him on the exempt list. That's the intimation.
Right. I mean, wouldn't you expect that, and I'm just using this as an example, Jerry Jones gives Roger Goodell a call and says, look, we're thinking about signing Antonio Brown. What are you going to do? Wouldn't Goodell tell him? Well, we'll probably put him on the exempt list if you sign him.
No, I don't think he will. Because I mean, look at the Ezekiel Elliott stuff. I just don't think that... you know, he had no clue what was going to happen.
Right. That was a joke, too.
Yeah. So
the investigator said, well, yeah, I wouldn't suspend him.
Six games. Thanks.
There's probably a cabal of owners who basically say, look, we're not going to turn into a league where the players just say, I want out of someplace and shoot their way out of town, because he did it in two spots, and then he got to New England in Oakland and Pittsburgh, and then he gets to New England and, you know, brings a public relations poop storm onto their doorstep. So I think there's enough room to say, look, we don't need that. And it is blackballing, and it is certainly outside what I think the collective bargaining agreement would say is fair treatment, but they're getting away with it.
Tom, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom Ekuren, NBC Sports Boston. Yeah, Goodell was asked about that, among other things, here.
He had nothing.
In the last few minutes. He says, hey, there's a lot of stuff here. Still working on it.
What a fraud he is.
They are not working on it.
No, nope. He is...
But it's such a unique spot because...
I told you, Antonio Brown's got one move, and that's suing the league.
I know, but I wonder
what's he gonna
what
sue them
chance
for?
He would have. Preventing him from working,
yeah, prevent him from
they
working.
They haven't.
No, I see. I know. It's like a loophole.
They haven't.
Or maybe...
He's a free agent.
If they put him on the exempt list, maybe he could file suit. He's got no suit to file right now.
Or maybe...
But how come your research here has been so slow?
The process,
your investigation has been so slow. What's the problem?
Right. The process being this slow is affecting his ability to work.
No, my point is simply he's got nothing to sue them for right now. Their answer is going to be, hey, listen, we got a lot of stuff to go through here. You know, this doesn't happen in a day. You know, we're running down all these leads. We're investigating this. This process takes time.
But
you can't
your lawyers,
sue them.
Could your lawyers spin it as though they did not do it in a timely manner, which then prevented teams from taking a chance on him, thus preventing him from earning a paycheck?
How do you define timely manner?
Well, I think what
I know Antonio Brown and Drew Rosenhaus want to say, hey, give us a decision in a day or two so we can move on. And Roger Goodell and the NFL are going to say, listen, this stuff takes time.
Well, they could say that it only took a month and a couple days or a month and a half for you to figure it out with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, maybe you started to pull up some of the other
investigations. But it wasn't until
done.
The criminal case was resolved. In other words, as soon as the DA said, look, we're not filing charges here, we can't figure out who hurt this kid, then it moved forward.
Yeah, but they need a team. But there's no criminal case, so now
There's still a legal case, is what I'm saying. There's still a pending legal case.
Yeah, but I don't know if they really, I don't know if the NFL looks at a civil suit as, okay, we need to wait for that to end.
Well, let's see what happens. Is Trent Brown on the exempt list?
Right.
Not that I heard, right?
Not that we know of yet.
Right, is he headed there?
Let's see what happens with that.
Well, and like Tom Curran said, the NFLPA.
The lawsuit was filed Monday, and this is Wednesday
right now.
No, right,
but so let's see what he plays on
Sunday. The PA has to step in and go, all right, Roger, you need to make a decision on what is going on with Antonio Brown. The longer you wait, that just means the less opportunity he has to catch on with somebody and make a living.
I know that that's what the PA is going to say, and I'm not even disagreeing with you. I'm just telling you that there's no timeliness clause here. In other words, you could file suit, and a court's going to say, I can't tell you how long it's going to take to figure this out.
Right, but your lawyers could maybe, I don't know, they could then say, well, why does it need to take this long? You don't need to wait for a civil case to be done to come up with a final conclusion on whether or not you're going to suspend them or put them on the exempt list.
I just think that they're saying we're running down all the leads. We're investigating. This takes time.
And I'd be interested if you get the details of that. Be like, all right, what is your next step? Then they're like, the leads. All right,
the
what's
leads.
Your lead?
Right.
Well, we got to go. Take a look at everything. Yeah,
We're still turning over some stones.
Right. It's like you haven't even talked to Antonio yet.
And in one of those catch-22 situations, he's not a league employee right now, so what's the hurry? In other words, they're saying, look, if he was on the Patriots now.
You got to get a team to just say, we'll take him and we'll see what happens.
But
that's
I bet there's good enough lawyers out there that can spin it as... The longer that the NFL or the commissioner drags his feet, it's affecting his opportunity to make money. And there's probably a way they can spin that.
He has to get OJ's dream team, I think, to help him out.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are dead.
Yeah, well, I know. It'll be tough.
Yeah, Johnny's tough.
A couple of them have lost their minds. It'll be tough.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Wiggy's in the house. We'll get right back to your calls about the Patriots and Bennett and Brady and all that stuff after Trending Now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Well, first of all, that's a lot to give up.
Yeah.
But I think both teams actually can claim a victory here. I think the Rams got the best corner in the league right now. And so, when you have draft picks, you're hoping that one turns out to be a player this good. I think that the Jaguars, they said all along they wanted to get a lot. They wanted a haul. They wanted more than just one first rounder. They wanted two if they could get it, and they got two and a fourth round pick. So credit the Jaguars.
That's Jack Del Rio assessing the deal that was completed yesterday. Jalen Ramsey goes to the Rams for two first-round picks and a fourth-round pick, I believe. First-round picks over the next 2 years. And a lot of people were saying similar things. Rich, you pointed out that Adam Schefter said, you know, the Rams get the best corner in the league.
Yeah, I don't see it.
So Tucker Boynton, who does stats stuff for Barstool.
Yeah.
Put together this year coverage stats. He went to Pro Football Reference and put together the coverage stats.
Okay.
And Jalen Ramsey, for instance, when he's covering guys, quarterbacks are completing 68.2% of their passes against Ramsey. They're 15 for 22.
Seems pretty good.
Gilmore, they're completing 47.1% of their passes.
Mm.
16 for 34. Yards against Ramsey, 6.7 yards per attempt. Against Gilmore, 5.7 yards per attempt. Touchdown to interception ratio against Ramsey, 1 touchdown, 0 interceptions. Against Gilmore, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And finally, quarterback passer rating against Ramsey, 101.9. Against Gilmore, 40.6.
Yeah, it's really not even that close.
It's not right, even. No. It's not even close.
I don't know why. I mean, Ramsey. I like Jalen Ramsey. I think he's a good player. I think those numbers are actually a lot worse than I would have guessed. But I like him as a player. Mm-hmm. I like how cocky he is. I love that whole thing where he's going through and ripping all the quarterbacks. I love it. I think he's good for football because you can choose to hate him. That's fine. Right. You can choose to love him. I think he's good, and it's clearly because Jalen Ramsey's a guy who talks all the time. So guys like Jack Del Rio clearly aren't watching the rest of the league. Just go, oh yeah, he must be the best corner.
Right.
And meanwhile, Steph Gilmore barely says a word. Every once in a while, he'll tweet at people,
right.
And you know, because Darrell Revis called Gilmore the best corner in the league, and then it was funny because Gilmore responded because he spelled his first name wrong.
Right.
But so Gilmore has a little bit of that in him, but he's pretty quiet.
Right.
But he's the best corner.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. It's when you start to look at these national shows. It's all right. Who do we really know? Are we really putting the time and effort to look and say, okay,
right.
Here's what this guy is doing statistically. And when you look at Gilmore plays a lot of man-to-man coverage. At times, I know that Jacksonville will tend to mix in some zone there.
Right. And that was one of the things that Ramsey was pissed about
when
he was screaming at Marone. I think because they were playing zone and he wanted to play man.
Right. And I like Ramsey. But the way Gilmore's been playing, Gilmore's just
he's
the better player right now.
He's clearly the guy. If you could have any corner in the league, like we were doing this exercise with quarterbacks before, but if you could have any corner, I think everybody who's paying attention would pick Gilmore. I mean, there might be some like Jack Del Rio that go, I assume it's Ramsey. It's Ramsey, but it's clearly Stephon Gilmore.
I mean, Ramsey's a younger player. You might say that long term he's going to be better because he's going to last longer than Gilmore. But if you're talking about right now, today,
Not close.
It's not even close.
No, not even a little bit.
And you should look at. And the other thing I would think that people from the national media would look at is just the way the defense is playing. So when they're playing that good, then that tells me that they got playmakers all over the field. So we really need to look into what Gilmore's doing, what the rest of these players are doing, because this defense is on pace to be one of the best defense in NFL history.
Right. And he's a big reason for it.
Yeah.
And he might be he's the most important player. I mean, I think you can make an argument for Collins and what he's done so far for this team. But when you have a guy at that position who is so good, it makes everybody else's job so
much easier. You don't have to worry about
doubling.
When you don't have to worry about helping and doubling, you could say, all right, we're going to take our best corner and put him on your best receiver and not have to worry about doubling.
But this is insane. Like the league is going to have to step in and tell the Rams that, listen, you can't trade all of your first-round picks. They didn't have a first-round pick in 17,
mm-hmm.
18, 19.
Well, why, though?
Why?
Why does
it's
the league...
reckless. It's absolutely reckless.
But
you got to protect them from
themselves.
And they've
just traded away 20 and 21.
Because in a couple of years, they're going to be so bad. They're going to just be an absolute mess. Once these guys they can't afford everybody, and then you're going to look and say, what's left? And you're, where's the young talent?
But they're choosing to do that. The Rams are
in
the
position. I mean, I'm only half kidding. Like, it's not like basketball, it's worse. In basketball, that's why the rule is in place, and because that can be much worse, and you could trade all your picks and whatever. But that's pretty amazing. They're not going to have, unless they trade for one somehow, mm-hmm. and maybe they do. They're going to go 5 years without a first-round pick? That is wild. Think about that.
But they probably look at it and go, okay, what's the difference on if we pick in the second round, or we pick at number 30, 31, or 32 in the first round.
Well, they're picking at like 60. I mean, they're hoping to pick at 60 because mm-hmm. they're going to have a really good record. Like last year, they picked 61. That was their first pick last year.
They might not value the draft as much as other
teams. They must not. Yeah, because
especially first rounders, and if they feel like they're going to be a good team, then they may not value the late first rounder.
It's just a lot because, you know, as Jack Del Rio said, the one thing I do agree with him about is when you're the Jaguars and you're acquiring these picks, you're hoping to get somebody as good as Ramsey. Like, you identified Ramsey, you got him, so you're hoping to do that.
We're not saying he's not a good player. Correct. He's terrific.
Correct, but still, there's just something about it. Like, you're going 5 years without a first rounder because you're hoping to maybe hit on three of the five first rounders, something like that, right? You know, whether they're just a steady pro or obviously the hope is like an all pro. But to go 5 years where you just punt on the first round, well, it also makes this year, next year, and the year after that so important for the Rams. Because if they don't win then, the future seems like it's going to be pretty bleak.
Unless they feel like, all right, it's this year and next year, and if not, we're going to
trade our guys that
we're
going to
trade our guys. We're going to trade Aaron Donald, see if we can recoup some first round draft picks.
But then you're going to, that sounds like you're going to be bottoming out for a couple of years. You know, whereas what you want to do is you want to have like your veteran guys, but have like the next generation ready to go. Mm-hmm. And then those guys, you know, playing, have a nice mix. Like the Patriots, again, they've missed on picks like every team has, but they've also been able to supply some young players into the mix to team up with the old guys.
We mentioned briefly the Trent Brown thing, and just so that you know what the situation was, there was a lawsuit filed in California civil court on Monday. It was first reported by Pro Football Talk. Trent Brown, who played for the Patriots last year, now an Oakland Raiders tackle. Trent Brown's girlfriend, who's been dating Brown since 2017, is the mother of his child, has filed a lawsuit claiming that Trent Brown slapped, punched, and choked her multiple times beginning in 2018. The lawsuit, and I'm quoting now from PFT, the lawsuit alleges that in March of 2019, Brown grabbed her face and covered her mouth while choking her out until she couldn't breathe, leaving a ring of bruises around her neck. The lawsuit also alleges that in April of 2019, Brown grabbed the plaintiff's arm, took her into a room, locked the door, slapped her across the face, and punched her in the ribs while the couple was vacationing in Hawaii. According to the lawsuit, the woman told Brown she was going to leave him and take her child with her, to which he responded, "I'll shoot Joe Blank in the blanking head before you walk out that door with my son." So that's the lawsuit that's been filed. He signed a 4-year, $36 million guaranteed deal with the Raiders in the offseason. And now the mother of his child has filed a civil suit against him.
And Josina Anderson this afternoon tweeted out, "Just spoke to Joaquin McCoy, who represents Raiders' Trent Brown's accuser in a civil case resulting from Deoria Marzette Sanders' claim of domestic violence. McCoy tells me, quote, the next steps are to serve a civil complaint on Trent Brown. He will have 30 days to respond. McCoy, Trent Brown's accuser's lawyer, also told me after their case management conference, they will inform the court of their discovery process and hopefully get a trial date by the second case management conference. McCoy told me after an incident in June in which his client says Brown used derogatory language and slapped her in the mouth, Marzette Sanders did file a police report in Texas, but to his understanding, Brown was not arrested. McCoy said she took pictures of her injuries, and Josina Anderson also says she's told that Trent Brown's attorney is expected to release a statement.
I'm a little confused if she filed a police report.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about domestic violence, but isn't it automatic that you have to respond?
I would think so.
To who, the police?
Yeah, if you go to the police
they
and
up.
Say, hey, you have this to is what this guy did to me.
Yeah, they have to investigate that. If anybody who's sitting there looking at this and going, okay, now I know this is a bad situation, but you ask the question, what can Antonio Brown do? Boom. Here's a case for him, fell right in his lap. Now, what's the commissioner do? You have these allegations, disgusting, out there, civil suit with one of your players in the league. What action are you going to take?
I bet they don't put him on the exempt list because they didn't with Brown. We knew about the civil case when he was on the Patriots, right? So I don't think they do.
They never did with Tyreek Hill.
Right.
But doesn't that make Antonio Brown's case stronger for him to say, why are you not making some type of statement, letting people know, because he's gonna Goodell's gonna have to come up with a statement saying we're not gonna put Trenton Brown on the exempt list.
Right. Well, no, they'll only do that. And the same thing with Tyreek Hill. They didn't do that until after the legal case.
Yeah, so the investigation.
Right. They're not gonna do it now.
No, no, no. But they're gonna have to investigate it, right?
You would think.
And how long do they investigate?
But I don't think they. Yeah, it's because the exempt list is odd, and it's a relatively new thing. And remember, that's where Adrian Peterson went on, like Greg right. Hardy, as they're trying to investigate it. Because do you take the guy off the field and you're not sure, or do you risk having him play and then you find out down the line, oh, wait a minute, all of this stuff is true, and yet he was playing every Sunday for a month? I mean,
but don't we think that the turnaround is quick because they did it with Brittany Taylor, where boom, they were like,
yeah, but I think the turnaround is going to be quicker because he's on a team.
Right, well, that's what
and
I'm saying.
But then we just keep going in circles because I think he would be on a team if they knew, but they're not going to make that determination because he's not on a team.
I'm saying with Trent Brown, they know that they have to interview this his girlfriend. Is his girlfriend his fiance?
Yes.
They know that they have to interview her ASAP because of the allegations that are out there in this civil suit. Those threats, what he did to her, choking her, I'm going to kill you. You can't have a guy out there playing that has these allegations against them and you're not doing nothing about it. They had Brittany Taylor.
Yeah, but they did with Antonio Brown.
No, what? No, but how quick did they have Brittany Taylor in for the event and for the 10-hour
interview?
They
interviewed her, but they didn't put him on the exempt list.
No, because he got cut on Friday. Antonio Brown got cut Friday.
He wasn't going on the exempt list for the Brittany Taylor thing.
No, but correct me if
I'm
wrong.
And he wasn't getting cut for the Brittany Taylor thing either.
Maybe I'm getting all this confused, but when he played in the Miami game,
right.
Didn't we know that there was a chance that he raped a woman?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the same thing with Trent Brown, isn't it?
But there's a chance, just like there's a chance this Trent Brown's girlfriend is telling the truth, but the commissioner's going to say, I don't know who's telling the truth.
100%.
Yet.
But isn't the whole idea of the exempt list for them to figure it out and not be burned?
Right,
to
put this
out
guy.
That's why it's a weird spot. That's why I don't think Trent Brown will be put on it because Antonio Brown wasn't.
But that goes back to our original point. Would teams now take a chance on signing Antonio Brown? And I think.
Yeah, because I think he'd be able to play. Like, I still do.
I think the difference here is if Trent Brown were legally charged with a criminal case. Mm-hmm. This is a criminal charge of domestic violence.
Right.
I think they might put him on the exempt list immediately. A civil case is not the same.
But right,
the same thing, Brittany
about,
Taylor right, was a civil case.
Right,
so exactly. that should be what that's where the team should go. Look, oh, okay, you're not doing nothing with Trent Brown. You're not putting him on the exempt list.
Just like they didn't with Antonio Brown.
Right, just like we expected that they wouldn't. Now, granted, he got caught on Friday, so you know what? We should sign this guy. And if you do sign him, there is no way that you could put Antonio Brown.
See, the difference, though, you're forgetting why the Patriots cut him. That's what could get him on the exempt list. That right there.
What?
Not the civil case. The text chain.
There's no way the text chain's
you didn't think it was intimidation. I know. We've heard. But that's why he got cut.
Yeah, that's why he got cut. I agree with
and
you on that.
And that's why the commissioner could put him on the exempt list, because he agrees with the Crafts. Yeah, he was trying to intimidate that lady.
Yeah, but I don't think that. Yeah, I think
there's
Tyreek
no,
Hill
but there's
was
no
more,
way. My
but
point,
don't you think that with Antonio Brown, we would at least have to admit that he is more of a loose cannon than most
guys
are?
He might be, but it has nothing to do with it in this situation.
Well, it might, because could you trust, if a team signed him, could you trust him that he would stay, keep his nose clean the rest of the year?
But we don't know if we could trust them. It's all about whether or not the team knows that he's headed to the exempt list. So if Trent Brown is not headed to the exempt list,
then Brown shouldn't be.
Then Brown shouldn't be, and a team should be like, well, we'll sign him because there's no way they can put him on the exempt list and not put Trent Brown on.
Right.
What else you got coming up next? Sports Radio WEEI.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we missed earlier in the show.
What else you got?
Wiggy?
All right, so one player is very upset because at his home game, the L.A. Chargers, Melvin Gordon running back, they were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers the other night.
Well, it was all Steelers fans.
It was a Steeler home game.
In L.A.,
yeah.
And they started to play the Pittsburgh Steelers theme music. So what this does for me is if you're the New England Patriots, please call up the L.A. Chargers and see what it takes to get Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen was mad about it, too. I think he tweeted something. I assume it was about that.
The Chargers
he's been fired up.
The Chargers are falling apart. Imagine that.
I don't think Keenan Allen gets to choose if he leaves. But,
Ramsey did. Minka Fitzpatrick did. So
he's not pushing
he does.
For a trade a little bit.
That's all you got to do is speak up.
What else you got?
Rich?
Well, first thing I just want to point out is that with all this Trent Brown, Antonio Brown stuff going on, is they do both have Drew Rosenhaus. So he will be at the center of something as it relates to what's going on there. We talked about the biggest fraud in the world, LeBron James, yesterday.
Oh, man.
There's even you, Wiggy, can't. Defend LeBron James.
No, not on this one.
You can't do it. Well, apparently there's even more to the story. He, of course, had his little episode there in front of the media where he's anti-freedom is what it sounds like now. But there's even more. Here's Dave McMiniman on ESPN talking about a meeting that Adam Silver had with the players over in China.
I mean, nearly a week ago today in a Shanghai hotel room or Shanghai hotel ballroom, Adam Silver got up and addressed the players, and LeBron James, one of the players who got up and spoke and said, "Hey, what are we doing here? Daryl Morey made these statements. You know damn well if a player made the same similar statements and caused such poor ramifications for the league, there'd be some sort of league recourse. There'd be repercussions that the player had to pay. You know, potentially this tweet could cost the NBA hundreds of millions of dollars, which could come out of the player's pockets. And so that's the double standard that was being addressed in that meeting."
So
I hate
LeBron
to say
James,
it, but LeBron's
right. He's
right.
Yeah, he is right.
Why?
Because if a player did that and put hundreds of millions of dollars in jeopardy.
If a player tweeted fight for freedom, what would happen?
And it cost the league millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars.
Maybe he'd get fined or something. I don't know. He might get fined.
In Daryl Morey's case, nothing's happening.
What should happen to Daryl Morey?
Nothing.
Okay. So if a player tweeted fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong, they would not get fined or fired.
Well, like,
and that's what LeBron says. Daryl Morey should be punished. You guys think he should be punished?
No. I would think that the league wouldn't do nothing to the player the same way they didn't do that in the Daryl Morey.
And guess what? I'm pretty sure a lot of the players and the coaches in the league would criticize Donald Trump nonstop. Did any of them ever get punished? Ever?
No.
For that? Ever?
No, not
so what's the double standard? What are we talking about?
Well, because Donald Trump doesn't make the NBA money.
Well, no, I understand. Well, no kidding. But I'm just saying, like, they're allowed to voice their opinion, which I think is great.
Yeah.
Voice your opinion.
Oh, no, he encouraged them to express their opinion
except
about
against China.
Yeah, not China. Leave China
what he doesn't
alone.
Encourage them to do is voice an opinion that could cost hundreds of millions of dollars.
So you think Daryl Morey should be punished then?
No, I don't think
so. What do you say? So I don't know. What's LeBron talking about?
I think LeBron is just saying
if a player tweeted fight for freedom, I think it would be supported, no?
Well, I don't know. I think what he's trying to say, because it cost the NBA money, that if it was the player...
I don't even know if that's true, though.
It might not be, but in LeBron's mind, he feels...
Yeah, LeBron's a scary place.
Yes, in LeBron's mind, he feels like the player would have been reprimanded in some way because he cost the...
Fined or reprimanded or something, and in Daryl Morey's case, it was nothing.
I doubt it, though.
What else you got?
So you've probably heard that professional wrestling, the WWF, has now gone to Fox on Fridays.
They're back to F? Or the E, you mean, right?
WWE.
E.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And they've gone to Fridays with SmackDown. Happened a week or so ago. And you're starting to get these crossovers now. So last night, you got the baseball game on Fox. The post-game show is on FS1. At the end of the post-game show, David Ortiz appears with a WWE championship belt over his shoulder and spinning.
Papa, you ready to go? You got the belt.
Look at me. Look at me. I'm coming for you, Booker T. You don't want any of this. The champ is here. Yeah. You know it. Big Papa in the house. Big Papa Mania.
All right.
So he was challenging Booker T, who was
retired.
The show. Well, the show that was following...
Booker T.
The post-game show was this, I forget what they call it. It's the one with Renee Young and Booker T. and Paige was actually back and she was on there.
They're all in though on the Fox.
Oh, Fox thing.
They've really embraced it. Yeah. They had like Jay Glazer breaking down like draft picks or something.
They are really trying hard to intertwine all of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see Fox, you know, network entertainment entities being part of this whole thing.
Does Gronk, from now to the end of the year, does Gronk do more WWE stuff or NFL stuff?
Ooh,
more NFL, but he'll appear on the WWE stuff.
And they so it's just because they want people to now know that SmackDown's Friday nights now on Fox.
And that's the big acquisition.
They want everybody
to make it a big deal. Isn't SmackDown and Monday Night Raw, aren't they already huge?
Not huge enough.
Yeah, they've been slipping of late.
Okay. So they're counting on it turning around. Hey, if you missed any of today's show, remember you can listen to the entire program on the radio.com app using the new rewind feature. If you still don't have the app, just text app to 37937. Wiggy, good to see you.
It's always a pleasure, boys.
We will be back here tomorrow. Peter King will be among our guests.
Yes, sir.
Steve DiAssi will be in the house. OMF is coming up next. No telling who Christian's going to rub down, but you'll just have to tune in and see. It's coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.